All right. I know you weren't expecting a Friday night content. Consider this a mini-sode tonight. Welcome, everyone. This is your predictions, preview and predictions for WWE WrestleMania Backlash, which is taking place this Sunday, May 8th, 2022. Originally, this was going to be part of Saturday night's episode of the Don Tony Show, but I thought with it being so close to the actual Backlash event, a majority of you will probably tune into the DT show after Backlash is over. So let's do predictions a day early. And who knows, maybe we will go back to doing maybe small mini-sodes on Friday night. So I welcome all of you. SmackDown just went off the air. We had a very fun watch party, nice turnout, and on Monday, we will announce the winner of this Undertaker retro signed photo, and this one as well. Earlier today, we had the Rampage watch party, and we gave away a half a dozen of the CM Punk AEW cards, so I announced on Twitter the winners for those, and we'll do the watch party again this Tuesday for NXT. So, look, six matches. We'll probably get something with possibly Shinsuke and Sami Zayn. I mean, they're interjecting Sami Zayn in this storyline with the Bloodline and Drew McIntyre. I don't know where it goes. And look, this is not a SmackDown recap. We will talk about SmackDown on Saturday night, but I will say this. Give me more interaction between Paul Heyman and Sami Zayn. They are hilarious together. But I don't know where Sami Zayn fits in with all of this, because what a lot of people need to realize, if you're not aware of it already, you know, WWE has been really hot and heavy with the Drew McIntyre versus Roman Reigns matches. If you do a search and you check out Roman Reigns, you know, his recent match history on television, we've only had two matches since Saudi Arabia. One was WrestleMania, and I think the other one might have been an episode of Raw or SmackDown. I think it was the Viking Raiders and Drew McIntyre versus the Bloodline. That might have been the match. I don't know. But Roman Reigns and Drew McIntyre, they must have met up with each other one-on-one at least a dozen times in the last month and a half. I mean, there's been a lot of six-man tags. There's been a couple of post-SmackDown dark matches. But if you check it out, Roman Reigns versus Drew McIntyre, one-on-one, at least a dozen times in the last month and a half. It's a lot. You know, when you compare some wrestlers that may only wrestle 12 times in a year for AEW and other promotions, Drew McIntyre and Roman Reigns have faced each other a dozen times one-on-one in the last 2 months. This is leading to something. Now, we were unsure until SmackDown finished tonight if they were going to throw another little twist in the tag team title situation. I know that there's quite a few people tonight. I don't blame them for being in denial with this, because I'm a little skeptical about it as well. If you're not aware, news reports came out tonight that WWE never had any intention on unifying the tag team titles. So this whole idea of RK-Bro versus the Usos, winner take all, that the claim is WWE never had intentions on doing that. I find that too difficult to believe, because it's not normal for WWE to hype up a mega stipulation like that just to change it. You know, it's really odd. I mean, look, you go back 20 years. I mean, when was the last time, barring someone being suspended, a wellness violation, when has WWE ever done that? So obviously something is going on. And I personally think, I don't want to jump too far ahead, but putting Drew McIntyre in this match is designed for one thing and one thing only: to plant the seeds of Drew McIntyre versus Roman Reigns for at least one of those championships. You don't just scrap a major stipulation about unifying tag titles. And here's another thing about that storyline that still kind of angers me about it. I could get it in storyline, the Usos, they go along, they trust the tribal chief. You know, remember that promo that Roman Reigns said a month and a half, well, about a month ago from WrestleMania, right after Mania. Remember that? The bloodline wants all the gold. The bloodline wants all the gold. They wanted RK-Bro's tag titles as well. Why does that suddenly change? Now, obviously, if you want to, you know, go between the lines, Paul Heyman concerned about Drew McIntyre going after Roman Reigns. But again, Roman Reigns never had a title match scheduled for WrestleMania Backlash. You would think that if Roman Reigns was going to have to defend that championship, then maybe in storyline, Paul Heyman is afraid and he interjects Roman Reigns into the tag team match to, in storyline, avoid Roman Reigns from having to defend it, especially against Drew McIntyre. That's got to come out down the line. That's got to come out because the Usos were never really, you know, explaining that they're cool with suddenly no longer wanting all the gold. RK-Bro, don't you think RK-Bro would want those titles just as much as the Uso did? Why would RK-Bro suddenly be cool with Drew McIntyre interjecting himself into this match? Or if Paul... It just is a lot of holes with this. And WWE, let's be honest, leading into WrestleMania, they amped up the quality of their storylines. Yes, their creative is very shoddy at times. I'm not disputing that. But if you really examine this week after week following WrestleMania, it is messy. It is extremely messy. Unnecessarily messy as well. Now, obviously, I spent a couple extra minutes because when you got only six matches to get into, this stream tonight is only going to be about 30 minutes long, give or take a little bit. Because don't forget again, one more cheap plug tomorrow night, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, Saturday, May 7th, the Don Tony Show. We got a ton of stuff to get into, but for tonight and tonight only, and I will answer a couple of questions related to WrestleMania Backlash as we go along and after we do the predictions. So, WrestleMania Backlash taking place this Sunday, what is it, the Dunkin' Donuts Arena. And I know one scenario that a lot of you are thinking about, and that has to do with AJ Styles versus Edge. We will get that in a moment. This match, Happy Corbin versus Madcap Moss. If WWE was smart, they have to stop calling Madcap Moss Madcap Moss after this match at Backlash. Stop with the excessive laughing. Stop with the giggling. Stop with him rolling all over the floor, R-O-L-F, whatever the hell that is. Everything that Moss is doing, even though he is trolling Happy Corbin, Moss, in our eyes, is still a heel. He is annoying. It's not a babyface getting revenge. I mean, that's the story. Moss is getting revenge on Corbin. But it is not fun. It is not entertaining. And if you pay close attention the last couple of weeks, every time they have Moss and Corbin interact with each other, you could pipe in all the noise you want. You look at that audience and it is pitiful. It is pathetic. Especially last week when Moss got his revenge on Corbin and Corbin gets out of Dodge. You look at the crowd, nobody, I mean, with the exception of a couple, nobody was into Moss. And that's horrible because Moss, you know, WWE is really high, big time high on Moss. And I don't mean high as in drugs. I mean, they really think this guy is going to be a major player down the line. And he could very well. But just because he's being a jerk to Corbin doesn't mean we're all going to be entertained by it. This is horrible. This match, I can't wait for it to be over. My prediction is easily that it's going to be Madcap Moss. Corbin no longer has the undefeated streak since becoming happy. So having two losses in a row, no problem with that. Moss has got to get this win, get away from Corbin as quickly as possible, drop the madcap name, drop all the giggly stuff, and start being a little bit more serious. Maybe he needs to get the tap on the shoulder from Doudrop, like she did with Nikki Ash. Are you done with the joking? Are you done with the goofy stuff? Be a little bit serious now. That's what they got to do with Madcap Moss. I'm looking at the chat right now, and nobody is into this match at all. Nobody. And by the way, shout out to everybody who is live. I know we have not done a Friday night show in a while. And look, this was not planned until this morning. So I know there's a lot of people that are going to find out about this later on. Like, hey, I didn't even know you were doing it Friday. But let's get predictions out of the way. So I go with Moss to take it over Happy Corbin. Next on the list. Bobby Lashley versus Omos with MVP in his corner. If you remember WrestleMania, Bobby Lashley got the win. I do not see WWE suddenly going on a losing streak with Omos. Will someone interfere MVP? I mean, we kind of thought that there was a little tease that Cedric could possibly realign with MVP. I don't see that. It's pretty obvious that Omos needs someone to speak on his behalf. We have had too many funny jokes at some of his promos. If he gets angry and he gets a little intense, he starts sounding like, what was that guy from back in the day? I'm drawing a blank right now. Oh, God. Chat room, bail me out. Who's he? You know who I'm talking about. Damn. Omos just sounds like he's mumbling. MVP, I love him as a manager. Now, I know, you know, the news came out today that Malcolm Bivens, you know, we've talked about it. A lot of people have talked about it. Malcolm Bivens would have been the perfect manager for Omos. He revealed today that WWE never approached him about managing Omos. He didn't say if he would have done it or not, but if you want to check out that footage, it's online. And Malcolm Bivens also admits, which we've talked about already, that WWE offered him a new deal and he turned it down. They offered him to go to the main roster. He turned it down. And WWE's like, okay, if you don't want to stay with us, then why wait until your contract is up? Leave early. Leave early. Ahmed Johnson. Thank you, Navon. It's been a little crazy here with the watch party for Rampage and then sneaking in a little dinner and then the watch party for SmackDown and doing this, you know, and plus the weather over here is horrible tonight. Horrible. Yeah, Dusty Rhodes, one of my favorite shirts. Little tribute to Dusty. So looking forward to Cody Rhodes versus Seth Rollins too. Can't wait for that. But look, Omos has to build a little bit further. I expect Omos to defeat Bobby Lashley. The only way I see Bobby Lashley defeating Omos for a second time is by disqualification. And I honestly don't think we need to see Omos get disqualified. I think he needs a high-profile win. And look, if Omos beats Bobby Lashley is not buried. We don't have to worry. I mean, yeah, with Roman Reigns holding two titles right now, you know, it puts a kind of a little stranglehold as far as opportunity to become heavyweight champion. Bobby Lashley is not in that mix right now, whether Roman was holding one belt or two. But Bobby Lashley, if he loses against Omos, he loses no momentum whatsoever. Maybe MVP distracts him, and then Omos hits his finisher. I'm actually going with Omos to beat Bobby Lashley. Does the feud continue after this? I think it does. A lot of people think ultimately that Bobby Lashley has got to get his hands on MVP. I don't know if it happens as early as tomorrow, but I'm going with Omos to beat Bobby Lashley. Next on the list, we got the match, one of the matches I'm so looking forward to. AJ Styles versus Edge. Now, obviously, this is a rematch from WrestleMania. Personally, I'd like to see AJ Styles take this because AJ Styles, you know, he has lost more matches than you think recently. He just beat Damian Priest, which you think, okay, Damian Priest just aligned with Edge. Now Damian Priest already has a high-profile loss. Is anybody really bothered by that? Does anybody feel Damian Priest is suddenly going to be de-pushed because he lost to AJ Styles on Raw? No, no. And I say the same thing with AJ Styles. AJ Styles, even if he loses to Edge, he loses no momentum. Edge already, you know, has a lot of wins under his belt. And you see the storyline. Judgment Day is going to look awfully bad if they build a whole series of losses in a short period of time. So they're going to want you to forget about Damian Priest's loss as quickly as possible. I am going with AJ Styles to actually beat Edge. Now, here's where it gets a little interesting. Damian Priest is barred from ringside. That was the stipulation that happened on Monday. Now, if you follow this show on a regular basis, the night of WrestleMania, we talked about possible scenarios, and there was a lot of rumors of Damian Priest joining up with Edge's faction. And, you know, at that time, we really didn't know where it was going to go. And when Finn Balor lost his title to Austin Theory, my immediate reaction was, put Finn Balor with Edge. I mean, we've had the Demon Balor. You know, we've had variations of Finn Balor when he was with Bullet Club. Have Finn Balor turn. And my scenario that I had painted 3 weeks ago is that AJ Styles gets involved with Edge and Damian Priest, and then AJ Styles starts getting double-teamed. I know that sounds awful. And Finn Balor makes the save. But Finn Balor ultimately joins up with Edge and Damian Priest and turns heel. So now the question is, does it happen on Sunday? Damian Priest is banned from ringside. Finn Balor is not. Now, do I see Finn Balor coming out during the match? No, I think that's stupid. AJ Styles doesn't need Finn Balor's help. Big shout out to Rojo Bear. Couple of super chats, we will answer them in a little bit, and I'll answer a couple of questions as well as far as Backlash goes. But Finn Balor, I think what happens on Sunday, Damian Priest is not allowed at ringside. Edge loses to AJ Styles. The minute AJ Styles wins, Damian Priest hits the ring. The match is already over. Damian Priest and Edge start beating down on AJ Styles. Finn Balor comes out to make the save. So one of two scenarios, I have to go with the idea from a couple of weeks ago. The two scenarios that I see happening is either A, if they rush it, Finn Balor could turn on AJ Styles Sunday and join up with Edge and Damian Priest. That's the first scenario. The second scenario is that Finn Balor makes the save, but he doesn't necessarily get physical with Edge and Damian Priest. Edge and Damian Priest sees Finn Balor running down the ring, and they get out of Dodge. So AJ Styles is in the ring. Finn Balor makes the save. Edge and Damian Priest get out of there without Finn Balor having to lay a hand on them. And this sets up a tag team match on Raw. Edge and Damian Priest versus AJ Styles and Finn Balor. And then maybe when we get that match, AJ Styles works the majority of the match, tags Finn Balor in, and we get the turn. Look, there's no guarantee that Finn Balor is going to turn. But I personally think, especially the last visual we got of the Demon, was tripping off of the top rope in his match with Roman Reigns. Do you remember that? Do you remember the ring, the ropes imploding? We never got an explanation for that. That was horrible. So I don't want to see the Demon Balor again anytime soon. And I don't want this kind of bland because, look, you guys know they ain't reforming no club with just AJ Styles and Finn Balor. I absolutely feel that Finn Balor and AJ Styles would be an awesome tag team, but I don't feel that in the cards. You have Finn Balor turn, and there are so many babyface wrestlers that Finn Balor could feud with that we don't normally see him feud with. First of all, he obviously could feud with AJ Styles. He could feud with Riddle. He could have a little bit with Randy Orton. And you go down the list. Finn Balor has a whole crop of new opponents. And Finn Balor doesn't necessarily put on demon makeup, but Finn Balor gives a side of him that we haven't normally seen in WWE. So I want to see that. I think that scenario, if WWE is going to have Finn Balor join up with Edge, one of those two scenarios, but I'm going with AJ Styles to beat Edge at WrestleMania Backlash. Next. Ronda Rousey trying to take the SmackDown Women's Championship from Charlotte Flair in an I Quit match. I know Ronda Rousey, since she has been back, her promos have been horrid. It just feels like she has taken a whole bunch of sleeping pills. I'm not saying that as an overdose, but she just seems like she's ready for a nap. It's nappy time for her. She has just got very little energy, you know. But I also remind all of you, when Ronda Rousey first became a regular for WWE, you go back and you check out some of her early promos, and they were kind of cringe, too. Now, Ronda Rousey never totally turned it around. I mean, not like what Brock Lesnar ended up doing. Whoever thought that Brock Lesnar would be this charismatic? I mean, we had a tease of it when he first left to play for the Minnesota Vikings. Right before he left, and he threw Zach Gowen down the flight of stairs, and Brock Lesnar showed a little bit of charisma, cutting some promos. And we're like, where was this all this time? Ronda Rousey, as time goes by, she will put it together. As far as in the ring goes, we watched SmackDown earlier. They had a big pull apart, big brawl. Jamie Noble got his ass kicked. Daivari got his ass kicked. It was fun. It was a fun pull apart. And I always bring up this match because I'm really surprised it does not get the love that it deserves. Ever since the feud started with Ronda and Charlotte leading up to WrestleMania of this year, I rarely ever see anybody reference the match that they had at Survivor Series a couple of years ago when Ronda Rousey took all those Singapore cane shots to the face. You go back and you watch that match. To me, and I've said this before, it's one of my favorite women's matches in the last 5 years. I mean, it's that good. And it doesn't get anywhere near the coverage it should. A lot of people had just forgot about it. And we talked about it leading into WrestleMania. WrestleMania should have been the I Quit match. WrestleMania should have been the no DQ, falls count anywhere. Not a straight up wrestling match. Ronda Rousey, even though she's doing some house shows and doing a little bit with Sonya Deville on SmackDown and others, you know, you got to do a lot more. Especially when Ronda Rousey is not a established longtime professional wrestler. And you saw it, that WrestleMania match, there was a lot of, felt like brain farts on her part. And Charlotte Flair, you know, bailed her out a few times, but that match was a mess. It just was a mess. So now you have no disqualification. I quit. You're going to see weapons used. I don't know if the Singapore cane comes back, but if they can brawl like they did tonight, and you add a Singapore cane, you add a chair, maybe a table or something with it, I promise you, unless they have an absolutely off night, which I'm not expecting, Charlotte Flair and Ronda Rousey on Sunday, I think are going to overperform in a lot of people's eyes. I think that match is going to be one of the better matches of the night. I think Ronda Rousey has to take it. I personally think that Ronda Rousey likely would have won WrestleMania if she was further in, you know, as far as her return. She still couldn't put a lot of it together. The promos were pretty horrid, and it just felt like, you know, as much as a lot of us thought WrestleMania was the time, it wasn't. And Charlotte, in hindsight, keeping the belt was probably the smartest thing they could have done. Because Ronda with that championship, I think a lot of fans would have turned on Ronda because she has had a below average return. And you put the belt on her, and everybody on social media is going to say, oh, they put the belt on her because it's Ronda Rousey. Now you're another month in, and if they put on the brawl that we expect, I think Ronda Rousey will earn a lot of respect from the fans on Sunday. I'm going to go with Ronda Rousey to defeat Charlotte Flair. Now, I got a super chat earlier, and this is really the only spot that I could interject it with tonight's predictions, and that is, any chance Bayley returns at Backlash? That's Tommy D. Thank you very much for that, Tommy. Bayley is close to a return. You know, we talked about it with Asuka a few weeks ago. There was no storyline for Asuka. They were going to wait until after WrestleMania to bring her back. Same scenario with Bayley. Bayley is very close to a return. Just because Bayley returns to TV doesn't necessarily mean that she needs to wrestle immediately. So could Bayley return? Absolutely. The question is, who does Bayley feud with? And if Ronda Rousey wins the championship, does Bayley feud with Ronda? Does Bayley come back as a babyface? Does she come back as a heel? Me personally, and I brought this up before, I'm not comparing Bayley to Roddy Piper. But since we were talking about Roddy Piper last week, when we were comparing it with LA Knight doing a manager slash wrestler role, you know, when Roddy Piper came back in the late 80s as a babyface in the WWE, the boss is back, remember that? He was still a jerk. He was still an absolute asshole, but he was now trolling heels and not baby faces. So Bayley could be the same snide bitch, and I say that as a compliment, but she could do that towards the heels. So I think if Bayley were to return, I could see her feuding with Charlotte Flair, but I also feel that Ronda Rousey, she probably needs to have a little bit more of a feud with Charlotte Flair. One, because you think about it, there's really no other ideal opponent for Ronda Rousey once she wins the title, if she wins it. And number two, Ronda Rousey is not back to the point where, okay, I got it, you know, I could hold my own. So it's almost like that WrestleMania match with Charlotte, Becky, and Ronda. You know, if you remember, it was Becky and Ronda, one-on-one. And for weeks, I said, they got to put Charlotte into it. They got to put Charlotte into it. Don Tony, you're nuts. That's stupid. Nobody wants Charlotte in that match. Yeah, but you don't understand. If Ronda Rousey really gets a brain fart, or if it's not clicking, or she gets injured or something like that, you have Charlotte Flair that could pick up the ball, and Charlotte and Becky could do their thing. I think the same thing happens now. If Ronda Rousey wins the title, expect three-way matches in the future. And that will be designed so Ronda Rousey doesn't have to be the focus of a one-on-one match. So I'm going with Ronda Rousey to beat Charlotte Flair. And if Bayley returns, maybe Bayley costs Charlotte Flair the match. I don't see Bayley returning and attacking Ronda Rousey. I just don't see that. If she returns, she's close to a return, but maybe not just yet. But if she were, that's the scenario I would like to go with. So, all right. Moving right along. Cody Rhodes versus Seth Rollins 2. Now, they are wrestling tonight, I think, in Hartford, Connecticut. And this is going to be a tune-up for WrestleMania Backlash. That's why when we get to the six-man tag, I stress Drew McIntyre. He is the wild card why everything changed. And they are having tune-up, match after match after match after match. They are testing things, teasing it, seeing how the crowd reacts to it. They want it to be big. Now, obviously, with WrestleMania 38, Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes had an absolute banger. Now, think about it. It's very hard to, you know, do even better than your first match. We've seen that many times. Two wrestlers have a banger of a match. They have the rematch. The rematch never seems to be as good as the original. Will Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes turn it to the next level? Now, I will say this. From reading a lot of your comments, whether you post it on YouTube or we socialize online, a lot of you out there are now starting to express a little concern with the amount of losses that Seth Rollins is accumulating. And I'm with you. But Seth Rollins has been so in the zone. He's not losing any credibility. He's not being buried. He's not jobbing out. He's having very, very equal matches. Now, remember Kevin Owens. Sure, we're going to get Kevin Owens versus Ezekiel. Not necessarily at WrestleMania Backlash, but Kevin Owens versus Ezekiel is going to happen down the line. I also think, ultimately, we may get Seth Rollins versus Kevin Owens. Now, I know they had that match to determine who goes to Saudi Arabia in the chamber, if you remember that. But I expect that to turn into a feud. And if that does turn into a feud, it's going to be interesting to see Seth Rollins, you know, because right now, the thing that's, I think, beautiful about Seth Rollins is, you know, he's back to being full-fledged heel, but the crowd is still serenading him. They cheer him at times. They boo the shit out of him at times. It almost kind of reminds me a little bit of how the AEW fans treat Jericho. Like, they'll serenade Judas, and they'll cheer afterwards, and they'll cheer some of Jericho's stuff, but at the end of the day, they'll boo the shit out of him as well. So, in my opinion, I think Cody Rhodes does defeat Seth Rollins once again. And I'm not concerned if Seth Rollins loses a second time. Sure, a lot of people will feel that Cody Rhodes has his number. Does Kevin Owens get involved on Sunday? Is there a little bit of a distraction? I have no idea. But Seth Rollins, I believe, is going to lose to Cody. Cody eventually is going to face Roman Reigns. It's just a matter of when. A lot of people think SummerSlam might be around that time. I think in the end, and we've talked about this before, if Roman Reigns is going to lose both of his titles down the line, one goes to Drew McIntyre on SmackDown, one goes to Cody Rhodes on Raw. And then Roman Reigns gets a little bit of a break. Brock Lesnar, that is a wild card as well. Brock Lesnar is going to be returning soon. You know, he's still under contract and he's getting paid a lot of money. Sure, it's by appearance, but right now, even if Seth Rollins loses to Cody Rhodes, he loses no momentum. He is one storyline away where everybody forgets about the loss. And the big question is, do they move him towards a babyface again? Because if he goes up with Kevin Owens, they are keeping Kevin Owens as a monster heel. Cody Rhodes has been spectacular since he returned to WWE. And look, I have said it in AEW, and I'm not going to change simply because he's in WWE. I am not a big Cody Rhodes fan, but there is no question that Cody Rhodes has fit in real nice with WWE. You know, a lot of people, I think, make the mistake. They think that there's this boatload of wrestling fans that haven't been watching wrestling, but because Cody Rhodes is back, they're now going to watch Raw. Or people think that, oh, because Cody Rhodes is now on WWE television, that some AEW fans are now going to defect and watch Raw. If you've noticed, the ratings have been the same. In some cases, it's gone down. What does that mean? What it means is what we've been saying for the last couple of years. This is not a shot on AEW, and it's not a shot on WWE. Every single one of you that's tuning in right now, ask yourself this question. You yourself, or your friends, or the people you socialize online, how many people that you know only watch Richard Robles? Shout out to you. Welcome to the family. How many of you out there who socialize with people online, how many of you know people out there that you know only watch AEW television and no WWE? No, not because they say it on social media, because a lot of people will say that because they feel, oh, if I really want to get in with some hardcore AEW fans, I got to make everybody believe I don't watch any WWE stuff. But if you notice, they always comment about the matches on Raw, on SmackDown. If you really pay attention, almost everybody that watches AEW also watches some WWE programming. And a lot of WWE fans who watch WWE also watch AEW. When you see 400,000 or 500,000 fans watch a Rampage on a Friday night, ask yourself, How many of that 500,000 you think only watch AEW and does not watch WWE? What, 100,000? On Dynamite. How many of the wrestling fans that watch Dynamite only watch AEW and nothing else? What, 200,000 fans? 300,000 fans? And again, that's not a knock on AEW. So when you think about that, when Cody goes to WWE, wrestling fans that are already watching, they're not going to suddenly defect. Oh, I'm not watching AEW anymore. I'm only going to watch WWE. You know, the only area where Cody Rhodes moves the needle is maybe some house show ticket sales and merchandise right now. And buzz, attention, you know, publicity, articles, you know, press. That's where, and look, every way you look, Cody Rhodes is doing an interview. Every way you look, Cody Rhodes is signing every single person's autograph. He will not leave until he gets everybody. He's taking pictures. He's writing. He's socializing online. He's doing everything. So Cody Rhodes, he is on such a momentum right now. You do not derail it with a loss. And no, I don't even want Kevin Owens to cause Cody the loss. Even if that were to spark a feud with Cody Rhodes and Kevin Owens, I don't want to see that. I'd love to see the match, but I don't want to see it as a result of a distractive loss. Cody Rhodes has got to keep his momentum. The storyline is bigger. Win it. My dad never got an opportunity to become WWE champion. I want to do that. Believe me, it actually, you know, I know we feel sometimes that titles don't matter. Believe me, when you hear Cody say that to someone else, it really does matter to them because they're in the industry. So I'm going with Cody Rhodes to beat Seth Rollins. And look, the reason why I'm being a little more detailed with what I'm saying tonight is two reasons. One, there's only six matches. And number two, because, you know, there's more than just the match happening. Oh, I go with Cody. Look, we could just say Cody wins, this person loses, it'd be done in 2 minutes. But we got to look a little bit ahead. And I say Cody Rhodes defeats Seth Rollins. And this leads to the main event. RK-Bro and Drew McIntyre versus the Bloodline. Roman Reigns and the Usos, no titles on the line. Again, I don't need to repeat what we have said the last 2 weeks since this was announced. The storyline seems like a mess. There's a lot of holes in it that are not explained. Again, we don't know exactly the reason. I do not buy that WWE never had intention of unifying the titles. The tag team division is an absolute mess right now. And I would have no problem with them unifying the titles temporarily. You saw Drew McIntyre cutting an interview over this week saying that he prefers two titles, one on each brand. Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez tonight, and it's a news story everywhere, that, oh, Fox and USA Network want their own champions. That's news. That's common sense. USA Network and Fox are not sharing revenue. They're not partners. They want their own recognizable champions. We've talked about that since day one. That's not news. That's common sense. So right now, Roman Reigns having both titles, that's because Roman Reigns is willing to do what he's doing for both brands. That's not going to be forever. So him holding two titles, this is only temporary, a couple of months at most, especially when you end up down the line negotiating new TV deals. If you saw what came out with the first quarter financials yesterday, you know, WWE's got to make sure that USA Network and Fox are extremely happy with the programming that they have. Because when those deals come up, that is critical with the amount of revenue that's coming in. So, you know, this scenario of not unifying the titles, the way they presented it, you felt like either, you know, somebody is in the doghouse, and we thought, hey, maybe WWE was really unhappy with Jimmy Uso's footage of the DUI arrest from last year. Maybe they said, no, you know, we're not going to give him undisputed champion right now. I don't know. But the fact that Drew McIntyre is in this match, he's the only one without a championship. They have been having Roman versus Drew for the last month and a half to 2 months. They are constantly going at it. And if you look at a lot of fan footage, you will see almost the same sequences in some of the recent matches. They are doing what we used to see in the 80s, especially the 90s. The 90s is probably where I saw it the most. That you would have, let's say, Shawn Michaels versus Sid Vicious, or Shawn Michaels versus Diesel. That's coming up for a pay-per-view. And you look at the house show results for 2 or 3 weeks before the pay-per-view, every week, the same two matches. Oh, Shawn Michaels defeated Diesel at a house show. And you would, it got to the point where, and anybody that goes back to the 90s with me will remember this, it got to the point that when people would post their house show recap, hey, I went to WWF tonight in, you know, Tulsa, Oklahoma, and after a week or two, that people would be like, oh, same thing, same scenario went down with Shawn Michaels and Diesel, that they did this, this person did this, blah, 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 blah. People got sick of just writing it because other people were writing the same thing, and they saw, look, we're getting the same thing. They were practicing. They were testing things, testing the fans. How do they react to this? Move set, a lot of situations. So that's what's been going down. To put Drew McIntyre in this match with no titles on the line, Roman Reigns, I personally think Roman Reigns is going to be pinned Sunday by Drew McIntyre. And the big news coming out of it is Drew McIntyre ended Roman Reigns' streak of 2.5 years without being pinned. That is what's going to come out of this. Because the unified titles is something you don't normally see in professional wrestling. You might have saw it with the European title or the Intercontinental title or a hardcore title. I mean, back when we were younger, you know, they teased Harley Race, who was NWA champion, and Bob Backlund was WWF champion. We realized afterwards, even when Flair took on back, nobody with titles changing hands. So when you had Brock and Roman, unified champion, you know, winner take all, that is a gigantic, tremendous, stupendous stipulation. You just took the same stipulation and now put it with the tag titles, and you change it 2 weeks before. How do you take the focus off of that? Drew McIntyre has to pin Roman Reigns. And Paul Heyman's original fears of Drew McIntyre maybe has Roman Reigns' number come true. Drew McIntyre does not become champion on Sunday, but Drew McIntyre can end Roman Reigns' undefeated streak as far as being pinned. No, he will not have the title, but now that legitimizes Drew McIntyre as the number one contender for Roman Reigns' championship. The only question is, how do they explain the two titles? I expect Adam Pearce to ultimately do a segment with Paul Heyman and possibly Roman Reigns. You have two titles. You have to defend those titles. That's why Roman Reigns has not defended those championships on TV since he won it at WrestleMania. They have never explained, is there only one title now? No, he keeps coming out with two. When Roman Reigns finally has to defend that championship on TV, I expect him to have two matches. I expect Adam Pearce to say, wait, wait, you have two championships. Okay, Drew McIntyre is going to take you on for the Universal Championship. Oh, hold on. Hold your horse. What about the WWE Championship? Oh, what do you do about that? That's where I see this going. Now, the only problem is we have Hell in a Cell before that. So I don't see Hell in a Cell being the pay-per-view where Roman possibly loses his titles. Some bullshit has to happen at Hell in a Cell, which then leads into the summertime and we get towards SummerSlam. So Drew McIntyre pinning Roman Reigns on Sunday covers up, it shifts the attention of the unified tag team championship match that never happened. And that puts it all on Drew McIntyre and Roman Reigns. Now, There's only one other problem that we got to talk about is in storyline, if we're right, and the storyline is Paul Heyman put Roman Reigns in that tag match because Paul Heyman is worried that Drew McIntyre was going to challenge him for the title. And Paul Heyman is worried that Drew has his number. If that's the storyline and that comes out, okay, so now you have Drew going after Roman. Why doesn't RK-Bro and the Usos go back to their unified storyline? Something has to be awfully stupid for the Usos to suddenly be like, nah, we don't want the titles. Or RK-Bro, yeah, we don't want those titles. You know, if Roman and Drew are now in their own program, why wouldn't the tag champions want to take each other's titles again? So what do? Do you go to Hell in a Cell and you have RK-Bro versus the Usos and it leads to a bullshit finish? Maybe the Street Profits get involved. Maybe two tag teams get involved, one on Raw and one on SmackDown. I don't know. I don't get paid that kind of money to answer those questions, but we will see what happens. So I am going with RK-Bro and Drew McIntyre to win on Sunday. Drew pins Roman. That is the storyline coming out of WrestleMania Backlash, and that leads into the summer. So all of that fighting that Drew and Roman have been having on the house shows now goes to the next level and now goes into a storyline on television. So Navan is asking me, which title do I think Roman will lose first? Yeah, it's an interesting question because if Roman loses both titles in the same night, you know, if you think about that, Roman, obviously, if he has two separate matches, he could be beat up and run down after the first match. So let's say Cody were to fight Roman second and Cody beats him for the belt. You don't want anybody to be like, oh, you know, Roman, oh, I wasn't 100% coming out of my first match. So that's interesting. It's very interesting. I personally think if Drew and Cody were to end up being the ones to take the titles off of Roman, I think Drew McIntyre's got to win it first. I mean, even though Cody has got this storyline and he's been doing spectacular and obviously he will become WWE champion, I think Drew McIntyre, especially those 2 years that he was champion, he was the COVID champion. He never got to defend that championship in front of a live audience. I think with the amount of years and how Drew McIntyre has been one of the MVPs for WWE, I mean, Drew McIntyre, a lot of people a year, year and a half ago were already saying, oh, Drew, you know, he's not what he used to. The crowd is not into him. You know, he's mid-card. Stop. No. Drew McIntyre has been able to keep that level, and the fans are keeping him at that level as well. You might have that small, very loud noise online that says otherwise, but you look at the shows. You look at the house shows. You look at the live SmackDowns. He is massively over. So with the amount of work that Drew McIntyre has done for WWE the last couple of years, Drew McIntyre should win the title first. Yeah, I always called him the COVID champion. You know, he was. I mean, he was the champion, really, during the COVID era. I mean, you know, I mean, Roman was as well. But, yeah, it's that's where I see going with this. Stefan Beck, shout out to you, my friend. He was at SmackDown tonight, and the crowd was very much alive for the show. And it was good at the Nassau Coliseum. I tell you, I live about 15 minutes away from that building. And I could tell you Long Island is notorious of having very crappy crowds. Anybody that lives in my neck of the woods that's older will tell you that WWE has a history. You go to the Coliseum, it takes a lot to get the crowd alive. And yeah, we were watching the watch party tonight and the crowd was really into it. So yeah, it came across that way on TV, Stefan. And I hope you had a good time. I hope you had a good time. Shout out to Rojo Bear. Once again, my friend, thank you very much. Not related to today, but John Falsetta. Today's the 38-year anniversary of Kerry Von Erich beat Ric Flair in the Texas Stadium to win the NWA title. He was 9 years old at the time, and he was there. What's the coolest event I ever went to? I know long-time viewers will be like, oh, God, here it comes. My favorite moment outside of going to events with my grandmother was when Hogan defeated the Iron Sheik for the championship. Now, for newer listeners and viewers out there, you're going to be like, oh, DT, 15 million people have claimed to be at the Garden that night. No, if you actually watch the match, you'll actually see me in the building. We were sitting about 12 rows in, and when Hogan goes down the rampway and he turns around and he's pointing to the fans going down the aisle, if you look to your right on the TV, you will see me and my friend Vinny on my shoulders, and he's flexing, and we were there. And the noise that night, you know, old school Garden, it was sometimes the noise got so loud that you would just hear vibrations. I mean, the cheers and the noise would get so loud, you literally, your ears, it gets to a point where you can't even hear the cheers anymore. It's weird. Backlund used to do that quite often. Towards the end of his title reign, you know, it was a little different. But, you know, I always say, watch the match with him and Stan Hansen in a cage. And if you just watch it on TV, and I know the audio quality is kind of shangada, but when the fans start to sense that Bob Backlund is going to escape the cage, if you just turn every other noise in your house off and you just put that volume up, you will hear that volume just start like going like this, and it just erupts, and it gets so freaking loud. You could only imagine how loud it was there. So for me, I mean, obviously, that was the night because, you know, Hulkamaniac as a kid. I mean, I have some, you know, other moments that I will cherish forever, you know, involving Terry Funk and some of my friends who wrestled. But that moment is the more, you know, public one. So Rams fan wants Asuka to shout at him. I don't know how you could do that. You know, online, you know, it's very difficult to get wrestlers to shout at you unless you say something really nasty. All right. Zantastic was at Hell in a Cell when Taker threw Foley off the cell. Props to you, my friend. That is a memory. If any of you out there have never been to like a big wrestling event, now you obviously can't predict moments, iconic moments that'll last a lifetime. But, you know, if you ever get lucky to go to an event, AEW, WWE, anywhere, and you get an iconic moment that was not planned, but you witness it, that'll stay with you forever. I mean, I know it sounds cliche, but, you know, I think of some of the moments. I mean, I was there when Chainsaw Charlie came out, when he had the chainsaw and he was on the Raw stage. And, you know, I mean, it's just, I wish I could bottle it and relive that again, over and over again. So, you know, if you ever get the opportunity to go to an event, you know, if it doesn't break the bank and you can afford it, you know, go, because you may end up with a memory that lasts a lifetime. So, all right. So we are almost done. We are at 54 minutes. So I definitely want to leave this before we hit 1 hour. So don't forget, tomorrow night, Saturday night, May 7th, I will be right here for the Don Tony Show. It starts at 8:05 p.m. We have a lot to get into, obviously. The synopsis is already online. When I go like this, you could click a link and you could see the preview. And I hope you all enjoy WrestleMania Backlash. Now, if you are a member of my Patreon family, or if you're a channel member here, in about an hour from now, I am going to be putting up the predictions contest. So you get an opportunity to win a 50 spot on YouTube, a 50 spot on my website. I will send the links to everybody who it applies to. And, you know, good luck to everybody who is going to take part in that. So pretty cool. I'm looking at everybody online which posting some of their memories. You know, Rams fans seeing Limp Bizkit perform at WrestleMania 19. Somebody seeing Bret Hart and Steve Austin. My God, I wish I was there. I wish, you know what? The match in the last 20 years that I wish I would have been able to see live, Hulk Hogan versus The Rock, WrestleMania. I mean, don't get me wrong, the commentary from JR and King is tremendous, but I wish I was in the building that night. Because you know why? It would have brought out 12-year-old Don Tony again. Because, you know, my grandmother, who I was closer to than no one else, she's the one that got me into wrestling as a preteen. You know, my grandmother was the ultimate Hulkamaniac back in the day. She died in 1991. So she died before Hogan turned his back on pro wrestling and joined the New World Order and did everything he did. She never got to see any of that. But, you know, I would have brought back memories of me as a kid with my grandma and everything like that. So, all right. So I hope you enjoyed this predictions. I always try to think outside the box and not just give you a straight up win loss. Oh, Ronda's going to win this. Drew's going to pin this. Yeah, anybody can do that in 60 seconds or 2 minutes. But I want to go one step ahead, not only to explain why I think, you know, the match is going to end up the way they are, but what could transpire next. Who knows? I could end up being wrong with everything tomorrow. So in the comment section tonight, post some of your predictions, some of the things you think could happen, or some scenarios you would like to see happen that probably won't. Or should. So, all right, everybody. Much love, as always. And on your way out, if you enjoyed tonight's show, smash that like button. You know, like, share, subscribe. I know you hear it from every show out there, but you'd be surprised how much that actually helps yours truly. So I thank you all. Thank you for stopping by tonight. We were not planning on doing a Friday night show. And let me tell you something. We got this done in an hour. So if you want more, you know, maybe hour-long, 30-minute, 45-minute mini-sodes, and maybe on a Friday night, speak up, let me know, and maybe we will work it out, and I'll make it Friday nights once again, must-see podcasting. So, all right, everybody, be well. And to all of you out there, whether your moms are still with us on this earth or they are up above looking down on all of us, I wish all of you a happy Mother's Day. All the best. Yeah, it kind of sucks. Backlashes on Mother's Day. You know, I'm going to spend the day with my mom, but once 5 o'clock comes, all right, Ma, I got to see you later. Bye. I got to do stuff at home. So, damn you, WWE. So, be well, everybody. Happy Mother's Day.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.